So the Australian Veterinary Association has a group called the Veterinary Business Group. They had a summit down in Melbourne, and they awarded a prize for the excellent veterinary clinic, which was won by a lovely woman down in the Barossa Valley who has her own clinic. And they also had the Thought Leaders Award, and I won the Thought Leaders Award because I'm continuously talking about the fact that most of our people in the veterinary space are women, and we need to have a different workplace structure for women to continue to work at that high level that they would like to in our profession.
Okay, so what is the structure that you've got here, that you've set up?
All of our vets work part-time, casual, and that gives them time to be with their family, do the things that mums need to do, because they're all women, and then they bring their best self to work because they're keen, they're so intelligent, they know their work, they really want to be a great veterinarian. So they have their downtime and then they come to work, and they're not tired and overworked, because you'll hear in our profession, many vets are leaving the profession because they're burned out, they're tired, they're expected to work long hours under sometimes very difficult circumstances. I mean, it's not an easy job. I mean, we have our really great times, but we sometimes have our sad times, and that can pile up a little bit. So our vets and our nurses always have time to go home, regroup, refresh, and come back. They're not tired, coming to work tired. We really try hard that they're not doing that.
So if you hadn't structured your surgery around that with casual and part-time work, what would be the likelihood of women vets coming back into the profession?
Well, we probably wouldn't have vets coming in. I have had some of my vets say to me they would not have come back to the profession if they didn't have this sort of situation to come to work to. And there is a big veterinary shortage in Australia, but all over the world at the moment. And I think, sure, it's multifactorial as to why that's happened, but by the same token, we could actually get a great number of wonderful vets back into practice if we just change our systems and our workplaces a bit.
Are you seeing more veterinary surgeries, say locally or around central Queensland, doing that, taking, you know, that flexibility approach for
Some are. Some have to. They just have to get vets to work with them because they are women. Some are not. The corporates, I think, struggle a little bit with it, and we're getting more and more corporate vet clinics in Australia now. It'll be interesting to see how their systems roll out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, talking about corporate vet systems, how's that different to how veterinary surgeries have been run in the past?
Veterinary surgeries have been very much a family-owned practice way back. Back in the day when I graduated, there were rules that only a veterinarian could own a vet clinic, so even their partner couldn't actually financially be a part of that clinic. That's all changed now, so pretty well anyone can own a veterinary clinic, so long as you've got veterinarians working there. And so certainly in America and certainly in England, corporates have got the finance, and they buy 600, 700, 800 veterinary clinics and start running them at that high level. So for the people on the ground doing the work, it is really quite hard to get that connection. Whereas here, if the girls are concerned about anything, they just find a practice manager or a clinical director straight through, and they're pretty well available 24/7 to them. So we haven't got these huge structures. We have quite strong structures, so everyone knows where they are, what they're doing, but it's very personalised. It's still very family. Yeah.
Has that corporatisation, of vet surgeries had anything to do with the shortage of vets, or it's just happened at the same time?
I think it's just happened. I do think, for me personally, I really think the changes of the genders of our veterinary people has been a major factor, because the culture of a veterinary surgeon working 24/7, being on call, 50, 60, 70 hours. You look at the data and it's still out there. There's some vets doing 60 hours a week. Of course, they're tired, they're burned out. And the young ones, they see those older vets doing that and they go, I don't want my life like that. I want to enjoy my life. I want to be home with my children. I want to go surfing. I want to enjoy life. Yes, I want to be a great vet and I want to dedicate myself to this profession, but I can't let it take over my life. And I think women definitely can't let their career take over their life, because they have other obligations. that have to, you know, the family has to be looked after, and it tends to fall to us. That's just the way it is. So I think 80% of graduates coming out are women. We just need to make a different space for them. At the conference, one of the things I really noticed was the number of women starting to buy their own practices, start their own practices, and I found that incredibly exciting because, you know, they used to say, oh, women aren't interested in and they're not ambitious and da-da-da. Yes, they are. And they're going to set up practices that other women can work in, and it's just going to be grand because probably 97% of our people in the veterinary profession are women. That's your nurses, your reception, everybody. So it's going to be really cool and interesting watching the future of the veterinary profession unfold.